This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I bid you welcome to First Christian Church, to Betty and Bob's church home. It meant a lot to her that this service and celebration of life would take place here. On behalf of the family, I thank you all for coming, for paying your respects to Betty, and to supporting her family by being here this day. Our hearts are made heavy by sorrow at the loss of one we love. And yet today is a day of rejoicing, for we know she has gone above. We give thanks to God for the gift of life, the gift of eternal love. Will you pray with me? Holy and gracious Lord, it is in your name and by your grace that we gather in this place. We have come as family and friends to celebrate the life of Betty Ann Burkhart. We come to commend her to your eternal care, O gracious Lord, giving thanks for the life that she lived on earth and the life that she will now live in eternity with you. O gracious God, heal our hearts made heavy by sorrow and restore to us the hope fulfilled in your word that the resurrection of Christ is given also to all those who come to you in his name. In his precious name we pray. Amen. The family has chosen two hymns for us to share today, two that were favorites of Betty's. The first is Whispering Hope, and I hope that you received a copy of the words when you came in. Kathy will play it for us on the piano, and I invite you to sing together. She'll play the whole thing through once so you can hear the melody in case you're not familiar with it. Thank you. The hope of God's love whispers to us so that even in our sorrow, we might rejoice. I share with you now some words taken from the 8th chapter of Paul's letter to the church in Rome. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and to deal with sin. He condemned sin in the flesh so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. Paul goes on to write of being adopted into the family of God, being adopted so that we are heirs with Christ Jesus, God's own Son. And then he concludes the 8th chapter of Romans with these words. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. We give thanks to God. There's another hymn that the family would like for us to share. It is In the Garden. In the pew rack in front of you, you'll find a red copy of the Chalice Hymnal. And if you'll turn to page 227, we'll sing together. Thank you. The text of In the Garden is inspired by the story in Scripture when Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb expecting to prepare Jesus' body, a lifeless, breathless, dead body, for its forever rest. Instead, there in the garden on that first Easter morning, she meets a living, breathing man, her Savior. She only recognizes him when he calls her by name. And the joy they share as they tarry there, none other has ever known. Betty knew the joy of walking and talking with her risen Savior. She lifted up her eyes to the Lord in faith throughout her life and shared the joy of God's love with those that she loved. I'd like to share with you a passage from the Psalms. Betty had a large print Bible that when her eyesight was starting to fail, she turned to often, reading from Scripture every night when she was able. She often turned to the Psalms and found comfort and peace there. I share with you Psalm 121, written by King David. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. We give thanks to God for keeping Betty's life from this time on forevermore. Betty first began lifting up her eyes on the day of her birth. October 10th, 1925. She was born in Sayre, Oklahoma, to Fred and Nana Livingston. Her dad's family had come from England, and her mother was descended from Cherokees who'd walked the Trail of Tears from North Carolina to Oklahoma. Fred and Nana had five children. Fred Jr. was the oldest, then Louise Marie, then Betty Ann, the middle child, followed by George and Jeanette. Sayre is about halfway between Oklahoma City and Amarillo, Texas. During World War II, there was a naval training station nearby, outside of Norman, Oklahoma. Like other young ladies of the time, Betty enjoyed the chance to go to dances with the young men in training. Betty Livingston was dancing with someone else when Robert Burkhart cut in. He was quite the dancer. Later, she said, as soon as we jitterbugged, it was all over. From that moment on, he had danced away with her heart. But before he could take her to another dance, Bob had to meet her folks to pass inspection. His warm demeanor charmed Betty's mom. And after he had shared a drink with her dad out of a mason jar from the fridge, they all decided Bob was okay. Betty and Bob were married May 21, 1944, the day after she graduated from high school in Sayre. The ink wasn't even dry on the wedding license when they took the troop train to Whidbey Island, Washington. There she continued to lift up her eyes to the Lord, but the scenery was sure different than it had been in Oklahoma. The naval station north of Seattle often seemed cold and damp, so she was glad when they were transferred to California. When Betty was pregnant with her first child, she went home to Oklahoma to have her mother's help when Carolyn was born. After Bob got out of the Navy, they moved to Casper and stayed here ever since. One of five children herself, Betty would have five children of her own: Carolyn, Bobby, Kathy, Steve, and Joyce. Eventually, there would be 11 grandchildren and a whole passel of great-grands and great-greats. She loved spending time with her family. She lifted up her eyes and saw their joy and found her strength both in the Lord and in those she loved. The little ones called her Grandmom, or later Gma Great, when sending messages on the computer. In her family's own words, Betty was a total sweetheart, understanding and forgiving. She was selfless and always put her family first. She was very patient, letting her three girls play beauty shop with her hair. She was a fantastic seamstress and made their clothes and Halloween costumes. She made paper dolls to entertain them. She tried to teach her sons some manners, and she also enjoyed going hunting and fishing with them. The Burkhart family had homesteaded on Muddy Mountain way back in 1907, and Betty loved going up the mountain. Her church friend Rita Peterson had a cabin on Casper Mountain, and the two families enjoyed spending time together. One time, the state ag people tried to tell Betty and Bob that they couldn't grow food on the mountain. But they knew better, because there were family photos of the 5 acres of garden Bob's parents had raised. One year, Betty grew 250 pounds of potatoes. She rotated crops and composted to keep the soil rich and raised chickens. The family will never forget a pet skunk named Chloroform, who'd been descented and was trained to walk downtown on a leash. Life was always an adventure with the Burkharts. Bob and Betty were well known for the 20 years they ran the Variety Ice Cream Shop here in Casper. She made all the beautiful ice cream cakes that they would sell and was always happy to greet customers with a smile. Betty was a natural artist. Some of her paintings are here today for us to enjoy. She liked to paint and draw. She was a good cook and taught all of her kids how to cook, how to sew, and how to dance. The dance of her life with Bob was filled with joy as well as challenge. In the family stories, you can almost taste their memories. Cinnamon rolls from a recipe carried over from Germany, buckets full of chokecherries made into wine or jam, pies and cookies cooling on a windowsill, and ice cream cakes. Other memories make you dance with the rhythm of a jitterbug, or perhaps jump out of the way, like the time when Steve caught a porcupine and threw it into the cabin, then shut the door on his sisters. Or the time that Carolyn lost her front teeth in the back of a pickup when someone slammed on the brakes. There was the time that schools closed because of a bad snowstorm. Betty went to Grant's school to pick up the kids, but Steve had already left and walked home. They were new to the neighborhood, and he didn't know anyone to ask for help. The house was locked up tight, and after driving around looking for him, Betty came home to find Steve standing in a snowdrift by the garage with ice clinging to his eyelashes. She never locked the garage door again. There were countless happy memories growing up, but hard times too. Betty's second-born, Bobby, died in his 30s from lymphoma caused by Agent Orange exposure. Her dear husband and life partner, Bob, passed away in December of 2011. In recent years, she struggled with dementia and eventually needed full-time care, lovingly given by her daughter Joyce and other family members. Betty was a member of the American Postal Workers Union, the National Association of Retired Federal Employees, the Elks Club, and of course, First Christian Church. She joined on Easter Sunday, March 25th, 1951. She was active in CWF here, the Christian Women's Fellowship, and a part of shepherding group number 13. We've heard today how she enjoyed cooking, painting, hiking, fishing, and spending time with her family. She enjoyed doing puzzles, she liked kids, and she loved babies. Her large print Bible was a constant companion. Betty was preceded in death by her husband, Robert R. Burkhart, and son, Robert L. Burkhart, both of Casper, Wyoming. She is survived by her daughters, Carolyn Schramm of Caldwell, Idaho, Kathy Parker and Joyce Pitzer of Casper, Wyoming, and her son, Steve Burkhart of Casper. At the age of 92, Betty was called to eternal rest with her sins forgiven on February 6th, 2018. At the end of her life, Betty was placed under hospice care. And I'd received notification from the hospice chaplain, Todd, that the end was coming near. The last call I got was last Monday, February 5th, and I went to Betty's home to pray with her one last time. One of the family told me that they felt Betty was worried about the state of her soul. She was worried as to whether or not her sins were fully forgiven. In some ways, it seems almost characteristic of Betty, because you see, she spent her whole life worrying about others and thought of herself last. Though she had walked with her Lord her whole life, it was only at the end that she began to question, "Have I done enough?" And so it was my privilege as her pastor to stand at Betty's bedside and assure her that her sins are forgiven, that the hope that whispers to us through the ages is true for her and for all believers, that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Once the Spirit of life in Christ has set you free, God's love lives within you forever, and you are invited to live with God. After that final prayer with the family on Monday, I left to meet with another family planning a funeral. And it was while I was with them on Tuesday afternoon that Betty went to heaven. We know that she is at peace now, that the joy she shared with us is amplified, magnified, multiplied, and glorified with God. Her family will always think of her as the most loving woman in the world. We give thanks to God for the love of Betty Burkhart, for the love that she shared with those who knew her best, and for the love that God shares with her now. Love is now the stardust of yesterday, the music of the years gone by. Betty and Bob's song, their favorite song to hear and to dance to together, was Stardust. Kathy will play it for you, and as she does, I'll share a few of the lyrics. Forgive me for not being able to sing like Nat King Cole. I'll just read the words. And now, the purple dusk of twilight time steals across the meadows of my heart. High up in the sky, the little stars climb, always reminding me that we're apart. You wander down the lane and far away, leaving me a song that will not die. Love is now the stardust of yesterday, the music of the years gone by. Sometimes I wonder why I spend the lonely night dreaming of a song. The melody haunts my reverie, and I am once again with you. When our love was new, and each kiss an inspiration. But that was long ago. Now my consolation is in the stardust of a song. When all that is left is stardust, it seems that life is over. And yet, when all that is left is starlight, life has just begun. Will you pray with me? O good and gracious God, our Creator, Lord, and Savior, you cast the stars across the heavens and breathed life into your children. Lord, we thank you for the life that you gave to Betty. And we thank you now, after her 92 years of journeying on this earth, she is at peace with you among the stars. She is reunited again with her beloved Bob and those who have gone before. O Lord, we ask that you will bless with peace Betty's family, especially her children, as they miss Mom so. When they are reminded in the future of her love, whether it be the taste of choke cherry jam or the haunting melody of stardust, may they remember the love that she gave to them, that came as a gift from you, O God, maker of the stars. Bless each of us as we live on this earth to carry within ourselves and share with one another a reflection of the light of your love, the light of heaven, revealed on earth through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who now greets Betty face to face as she lifts up her eyes to see her Lord and to hear you say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen. Following the service today, there is a reception waiting for you downstairs in Fellowship Hall. There's cookies and coffee, a chance for you to share with one another stories of Betty's life, share with her family stories of how you knew her and how she was a blessing to you. As we continue to celebrate Betty through the memories that we share, God's presence and love will be in our midst. If your hearts and minds are clear, I invite you to pray. And now, O gracious God, cause your face to shine upon us. Send your spirit to dwell within us. Bless again the living Christ to walk among us, to show us your way, your truth, and your life. Bless with peace our dear sister Betty and each one among us. In Christ's name, as we go forth to live, to love, to serve. Amen.